This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Initial Reaction Podcast is back with you. JP Kadoran joins us from his remote location, which is top secret, of course.
I've always wanted to be on assignment. It just sounds
so cool.
And
now you are.
Right?
It does sound cool.
Yeah, only my assignment today is going and watching college men in their underwear. So it's a little awkward.
Whoa, happy, that got weird in a hurry.
Happy Badgers Pro Day, everybody.
Yeah, okay. So when you put it the first way, very uncomfortable, but that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, my life is uncomfortable. It's okay.
That's true. But, JP, one thing I really wanted to talk to you about, and I've got tons of colleagues stopping by today to talk girls and boys basketball before we get out of here, but the University of Wisconsin Green Bay Phoenix, for the first time in 20 years, are going back to the NCAA tournament. They defeated Wright State in the Horizon League Tournament Championship Tuesday night.
Get to the Horizon League Championship Tuesday night.
Sorry. It's only fair. We talk about Iowa a lot, so yes.
My alma mater. Is fair play.
That's true. My alma mater, Valparaiso, despite a crazy last-second play, because that's what Valpo does against Green Bay.
So before we get to the Wright State game, I want to hear your thoughts as a Valparaiso alumnus and follower, right? Not necessarily fan. How would you?
I'm a fan slash follower.
Okay. So from your perspective, it sounds like you knew the last-second play was coming, but then what? I mean, you had to climb back from a huge hole, too, just to even get to that point.
Yeah, so Valparaiso was down, I wouldn't say a significant amount, but they battled back. Then they throw a full-court baseball pass with 2 seconds left that the guy catches. Green Bay's defense is not their strength, and they tip the ball right to Valpo's best player, who was somehow cherry-picking behind the defense for a game-tying layup that forced overtime. And, of course, at that point, I thought Valpo was going to win because they had all the momentum in their favor. But I got to give Green Bay credit. They've lost to Valpo in that spot before on a last-second shot. They battled back. They won that game in overtime and then carried it over by beating Sweden the next night for the gold medal.
The miracle on Joe Louis Arena ice, huh?
Right? Is that not appropriate? It was in a hockey rink.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I'll give you credit for that.
You
have to give Green Bay so much credit for not folding. Because like you said, Valpo had every bit of momentum in the world, and they're just the top seed. I mean, they're Valpo. They are like an 11 seed, I think, in bracketology, whereas Wright State slash Green Bay are going to be like 16 seeds. So, they had every reason to just fold up shop and say, well, you know, we had a nice run. But even then, I mean, not only did they win, they were up by like 12 in overtime, too. So, nice work. But, yeah, I've covered the Phoenix a little bit throughout my time at TWCSC, as we like to call ourselves for short. but this is, it's ridiculous because they should not be here. nobody thought they were going to be good. And I'm sure even Link Darner himself said that I'm sure he has to believe that there's no way he thought they would be a tournament team. They were just kind of, muddling around in like the third through seventh spots in the Horizon League all year long. But they put it together and, you know, they don't have Link Darner's preferred recruits or anything like that. They don't, and normally that's a thing, you know, that's just kind of a cliche that we try and say. But when you're trying to play his RP40, which is relentless pursuit for 40 minutes, when you're trying to be the top scoring team in the nation, which they were at one point, I don't know if they still are, you need your own guys. You need guys who have bought into that. But instead, he's doing it with Kenny Lowe and Turner Botts from Little Chute, Wisconsin, and Jordan Faust from Racine St. Cat's, and Carrington Love from Pius. I mean, it's insane to watch them do that. And then to hear Mike Tirico and Dan Dakich talk about it on the broadcast, talk about little Green Bay Phoenix. I mean, that was just awesome to watch.
Yeah, you talked about Love and Faust, and in a way, this is kind of a cruel irony that, that Kiefer Sykes, who's probably the best player in Green Bay history, not named Tony Bennett, he goes through 4 years, doesn't ever get a chance to dance, and then the first year after, with two guys who are four-year players who had to pick up some of the slack, Faust from St. Catharines and Love from Pius, like you said,
also
not the type of guys you'd expect to hang your hat on, and yet they carried that team.
Also, Alec Brown, 7-footer NBA player, so
doubt.
He was 2 years ago. Kiefer Sykes was a senior last year. Yeah, just crazy the way it works out. I mean, how many times does a first-year coach, and also, not only is it his first year with the Phoenix, it's his first year in Division One. It's crazy. How many times, I wonder if somebody who has way more time than I do and is way better at using the internet can look up how many times a first-year head coach has taken over for a team that didn't go to a tournament the year before and made it the next year. That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's a little bit different situation than 20 years ago. You have to acknowledge there's a little bit of luck involved here. I mean, that's the way the tournament is set up, and they played their best basketball at the right time of the year because they are, the number four seed, I guess, in the horizon. So it's not like this is a great team like that team 20 years ago that gave a real good first round push with Jeff Nordgaard and Gary Gresh, and they beat California and Jason Kidd. I mean, this isn't that level of team, but it's still a pretty cool story.
And that team, the 94 team, so that was the last time they went, but 94 was the first of three straight, and that year they beat up on everybody. They almost beat Purdue, who went to the Elite Eight, but they beat Marquette, they beat Wake Forest and Tim Duncan. Because when I did that story on Dick Bennett and the 94 team going into the Hall of Fame, we got to chat with John Martinez and Jeff Savada, and it was awesome to listen to their stories they went up against like 10 future NBA players that year. It was really cool to hear them talk about it. So, but you're right, like that team was ranked in the top 25. This team, nowhere close, which I was wondering, how much does that bother you then that Valpo was the best team all year and they're not going to make it? And Green Bay, who was good, but they're not a great team, they're going to be the ones from the Horizon League. How much does that bother you?
Well, of course it bothers me a little, but you kind of have to surrender to just the nature of the beast, and it's not like this is a new concept. I heard people afterwards, the Wright State coach, Bill Donlan, had played a game previously, and he actually kind of has a point. The way the Horizon is set up, you pretty much, if you're one of the top two seeds, you get a double bye. You basically only have to win two games to go to the dance, right? Well, Wright State, they tied for second but lost on a tiebreaker. They have to play an additional two games just to get through. So he was complaining after the first game it used to be that the Horizon team that took first would host. So the first place team got an advantage. Well, now that it's in a neutral arena, it kind of – the first and second, there really isn't much differentiation. But second and third, there's a huge differentiation, which isn't fair for a team that's tied. So I can understand why he would be upset. But then I heard people complaining about the format from Valpo's perspective after Valpo lost, and I'm just like, you guys have got to be joking. Valpo has every break imaginable. They lost twice during the regular season to Wright State, totally to their advantage to not have to play Wright State or Oakland in that semifinal. They just ran into a hot team, and Alec Peters is a great player and had a great game and was still all-tournament team despite only playing in one game in the Horizon League tournament. So it's frustrating that they probably will not get to dance with really their best team ever. I mean, this team is really better than the one that everyone knows from 1998. That team was very good, but this team was really on par with that one, if not a little bit better. So that's frustrating, but at the same time, that's the nature of the beast, and we've known it for years.
Yeah, so it looks like I think what I saw last night is they're like the third or fourth team out, which kind of stinks, especially with other bids that are going to be stolen over the next couple days. So unfortunate for you. There's plenty of room on the Iowa bandwagon. Come on over. But no, right here, nobody cares about Valpo. Everybody, I mean, you get to see a kid from Pius, Racine St. Cats, two kids from Little Chutes, and I think there are two other Wisconsin natives on that roster, and they're going to be playing. I think they're looking like a 15 or a 16 seed, which is unfortunate, but you never know. It only takes one game. You just have to be better that night. You don't have to be better as a whole. So
as it showed against Valpo.
Apparently.
Jamar Hurdle from Milwaukee Madison.
There you go.
One, but But the and it kind of plays into sort of the broader theme. Now, there's a local tie to the broader theme. That as crazy as this NCAA season has been, you had a setup where it felt like anything was going to happen in the tournament. Well, as crazy as it has been on the upper levels, it's just as crazy on the lower levels. And in a way, that madness is going to hurt the possibility of seeing a big like 116 upset or even a 215 upset in the first round, because the teams that are getting in with these automatic bids are the fourth best team in their conference. And I mean, obviously anything can happen on any day, but there's way less chance that Green Bay is going to pull a first-round upset than Valpo,
yeah.
And that's true for all the conferences. So actually, it's funny, the level of madness throughout college basketball I think is actually going to hinder the unpredictability of the NCAA tournament this year that we all thought we saw coming. I think there's a much greater chance that we see some power programs in the Elite Eight
and
no mid-major sneaks through.
Not to mention Valpo would have played a 5 seed, so they are more likely to beat a 5 seed than Green Bay
Definitely.
Is likely to beat a 1 seed. But it's going to be really fun. There was one bracketology I saw that had Wichita State, so a.k.a. the Horizon League champ, playing in St. Louis, the same site as Wisconsin, which would make my boss's dreams come true, because that is one trip instead of trying to find a way to split me in half.
Yes.
But it could happen, and you know, we'll be there. So now I'm pretty sure I'm going to be there Sunday night for Selection Sunday, and we're going to turn a little half-hour special on the Phoenix, getting to interview all the guys after they find out who they're playing and what they're doing. So that should be fun.
Awesome. Hopefully you caught JP's brief special on the team 20 years ago that defeated California with Gary Gresh and Jeff Nordgaard and the like. Hopefully you catch what's coming ahead, the half-hour special that he has just promised you on the Green Bay Phoenix men's basketball team.
Did you just plug my stuff? So do I need to tell people to log on to www.mycommunitynow.com/roundball?
You don't have a clue what I'm doing at mycommunitynow.com/roundball. You can't be trusted to push my stuff because you have no idea.
I read some stuff the other day. It wasn't by you, but it was on lakecountrynow.com. Does that count?
Oh, yes, you're so learned and well-read.
About the Muckawanico girls team, how they're getting Bree Sarah back just at the right time?
Yeah, actually, that's true. The Muckawanico girls team will go to the state tournament in Green Bay, not necessarily – well, they'll play in the same venue at the Resch Center that the men frequent during the season. So yes, the girls basketball tournament gets underway Thursday and Friday, and as JP so elegantly segued into it, we will chat with a couple people I work with here. Evan Frank, who covers the Muckawanico girls team on a full-time basis. Also talk to Tom Skybosch, Stephen Teets, John Reck. They all have info on both the girls and the boys tournaments. It was a crazy boys tournament, JP. I don't know if you got a glance at the brackets, but it was pretty much madness at the high school level as well.
Oh, I glanced. The New Berlin Eisenhower going down, huh? Is that our number one story so far?
Definitely number one on Friday night, and then Brown Deer going down in resounding fashion to Milwaukee Lutheran was the story on Saturday.
Beautiful. Love it.
So we're going to send JP on his merry way. We're going to check back in with my colleagues.
You don't need me anymore, do
you? You are old news, JP. You are yesterday's story.
Yeah, I just swoop in at state tournament time. You know, I let you guys handle it, and then once the bright lights are shining, then I come in, cover some state hockey. By the way, congrats to Appleton United and the University – well, Appleton won. University School Co-op lost in the finals, but still made it to the finals. So congrats to them. I covered them. And then, I'll do the same this weekend. I'll let you guys handle everything up until Saturday, and then I'll go clean up the championships.
So great will it be to see your pretty smiling face with your microphone. No. That wasn't exactly a compliment, but maybe I worded it poorly.
You worded your insult so it sounded like a compliment. Thanks, buddy.
Yes, I did. Yes,
all right.
I did. Thanks,
well, then,
thanks, JP.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Yes. Carry on without me now.
Joined now by Evan Frank, who's covered the Muckawanico girls basketball team all season long. The Muckawanico girls, one of three top-ranked teams headed to Green Bay for the girls basketball tournament, getting underway Friday. They were number one at the end of the year. Number two, Verona is there. Number three, Oak Creek is there. That'll be Muckawanico's first-round foe. Number nine, Appleton North, also there. And Evan, Muckawanico's got two Division I players. They've got a very good team. They started the year number one. They're ending the year number one. What have you seen that leads you to believe they can hoist the gold ball in Green Bay and bring that home?
Yeah, I definitely think they're the favorites coming into this tournament. They entered as number one in the state, and they really have not been touched throughout their four playoff games. I mean, granted, you could say Well, it was a very good game against Arrowhead in the sectional final, but those two teams know each other very well. That was the third meeting of the season. It's very difficult to beat a team three times. McGuanico did that against Arrowhead. Their three previous games, it was not very close because McGuanico has been so dominant. Their bench players have also been very good throughout these first few games of the playoffs. And Elena Nash, Nikki Huber, Bree Klopel, Julie Morelli, they've all played significant minutes, and that just shows the depth of this team. So, yes, I definitely think they're a favorite coming into the tournament.
Their starting lineup is pretty highly decorated at this point. Bree Sira, who's headed to Iowa, is kind of the top senior in the state. Morgan Glacek, who's 6'5", and a Ball State recruit. She's had three triple-doubles this year with blocks. Freshman point guard Bree Sira. Hannah Bricko has been there for 3 years. So their starters are also very good. This team came into the year, like we said, ranked number one. And then Bree Sira breaks her finger the second game of the season. She ends up missing 12 games. It could have been a very different layout. How is it that McGuanago, they did lose three games in that stretch where she was out. They have not lost with her. But did that change the course of the season at all for McGuanago to not have Sira for the middle part of the year?
It changed it in a way, but I don't think it was a negative because it established Morgan Glacek as one of the better players in the area. Possibly the state, in my opinion. She had a few triple-doubles, a number of double-doubles, and teams really could not figure out how to beat her until they lost to Waukesha West and Brookfield Central, which were actually back-to-back losses. But Grace Beyer really established herself as a great three-point shooter throughout that run. And when you throw Bree Sira back in the mix, they're very dangerous. No one's been able to figure that out in the last few games. And, in fact, they have not lost with Bree Sira in the lineup. So they're pretty unstoppable at this point. And, like you said, with their starting lineup, it's very balanced. And then, of course, you throw in the bench players I mentioned before. And I don't see them losing.
McGuanago, if they beat Oak Creek, which would be, of course, a tough matchup, would fit very likely, or I should say just possibly, face Verona, which would be a fascinating matchup. Verona's top three scorers, all 6'2 or taller. They've lost three games this year, two of them to teams that have qualified for state this year in other divisions. So that's going to be a very interesting top flight matchup if it comes to pass. But no slouch up Appleton North, who also had a very good showing in the sectional as well, and competes in a very tough Fox Valley Association. Or Oak Creek, who defeated Divine Savior Holy Angels in the sectional final.
Yeah, they're Oak Creek's also a very good team. This is their second appearance in three seasons. So I think this is a very good state tournament, well-rounded, and it could really go either way. But like I said before, I expect McGuanago to be in the finals and possibly contend for its first state title, which would be a pretty cool accomplishment.
We had a very interesting unfolding scenario with the boys' basketball tournament here in Lake Country. We had zero teams qualify for the sectional. I couldn't tell you the last time that happened. Didn't even want to research it because I knew it would be so many years ago. One team you saw and you've covered all year, the Oconomowoc boys, they had a close call. We had a lot of close calls. Arrowhead lost to Kimberly in overtime. Kettle Moraine really pushed top seed Sheboygan North, but went down.
Pewaukee lost
a tough game against Upstart Whitnall. Hamilton went to Bayport, battled very tough there before falling short. You saw Oconomowoc go to Madison Memorial, and again, we talked last week about how Oconomowoc was seeded sixth despite winning the Wisconsin Little 10 with a 13-1 league record because these Madison area teams kind of stuck together, we presume. So this was a pretty good one on paper and sort of a test of whether or not Madison teams had the right to have those higher seeds. Oconomowoc gave Madison Memorial traditional power, good battle, but fell in the end.
Yeah, Memorial proved that they were the better team on that night, and it was just a great high school basketball game. I haven't seen one with that type of back-and-forth action in a little while now, and a lot of people were really proud of Oconomowoc's season, and they should be, because, like you said, 13-1 record in the conference, which was very good, one of the better seasons in a decade for Oconomowoc. And Spencer Trader, Zach Clayton were named to the first team Wisconsin Little 10 All-Conference team. That's great. I can't remember the last time Oconomowoc's had two first-teamers. George Neiser was second team. Ethan Wagner was honorable mention. I don't know if there's been a time where Oconomowoc has had four all-conference guys. I did research a little earlier today, and that hasn't happened in at least 26 seasons. So this just shows you that this year was great. Even with the loss to Memorial, it was a three-point loss, 58-55.
So jumping back now to the girls' basketball semifinal, I'm joined now by Steve Teets, who covers the Oak Creek Knights. We talked about how Maguanago is one of the best teams in the state, capable of winning the whole thing, but we shouldn't discount what Oak Creek can do. They may not have those Division I players that Maguanago has, but they've shown that they're a very good team defensively. They've shown they can beat a very elite team in Divine Savior Holy Angels in the sectional final. So tell me about Oak Creek a little bit, Steve. What do they have that's going to separate them from the pack? They won the state title a couple years ago. What do they have that's going to enable them to get back into that top spot?
It's a very interesting team. They're very senior-dominated this year. It's a very quiet group, but they've learned to rely on each other. They've learned, like Coach Steve Hlechnik said, to get on one another, to push each other really hard. The three co-captains, Katie Settingsgarden, Madison Hart, and Nikki Wodinski, all had some experience off that state title team from 2 years ago, and they really lead the way. They rely on a very, very sturdy defense that rotates very hard. To whoever is the hot player. Settingsgarden, the guard, the senior guard, has become the stopper for them, taking on the opponent's best player. The offense is a very interesting mix here. It's a inside post offense, base primarily around Hart and Wodinski. The real key this year has been the development of, on this senior dominated team, is development of sophomore point guard Haley Zilka. She has really, really developed as the season gone along and has really taken control of games. She's played a huge role in the sectional semifinal win over Brookfield East and played a sensational game against DSHA with several assists and just being able to control the ball, especially when Creek got the lead late in the game.
The state semifinal, 8:15 p.m. Friday night, Maguanago and Oak Creek. Check out our full Maguanago content at lakecountrynow.com, including a look back at some buzzer beaters in school history, as well as capsules of all four teams in the finals. And check out Steve's feature on former Oak Creek basketball player Steph Kostowitz. She was a big part of that state title team 2 years ago. Now she's at UWM and tearing it up for the Panthers. So check that out at oakcreeknow.com as well. Wanted to talk a little bit of boys basketball as well, Steve. There were a lot of surprises, particularly in our area. I talked about how Lake Country got shut out with Evan. For you, you got to see Brown Deer, the two-time state champion in Division III, and they got beat really badly by kind of an upstart Milwaukee Lutheran team. Big surprise, not only that Brown Deer is out before the sectional, but that they lost by such a wide margin by a team that hasn't traditionally been at that level. I know they got a very good team this year. What did you see in that game? I mean, were you stunned that Brown Deer is not playing in the sectional?
You could have knocked me over with a feather with that thing. What Lutheran did so well is that they beat Brown Deer at their own game. They ran a more controlled version of the break. They were able to force turnovers out of Brown Deer's. They were able to get out and run, and they were able to finish around the basket. Brown Deer had so many problems with turnovers that game, and they could not hit a shot from the perimeter to save their lives. But Lutheran always looked at control, and I think that comes from the fact that they had 10 seniors on that team who have all been around. Lutheran was really good about 8-10 years ago, and they've fallen off in the last few years, but this year they've been very, very competitive in the North Shore Conference. What really surprised me about that game is just like 10 days before, Lutheran had just been obliterated by Germantown. And I talked to the coach about that. He said, yeah, it was just a bad matchup that night and nothing was going right. But Lutheran has really, really hit its stride right now. It would not surprise me if they came out of that sectional.
Milwaukee Lutheran and Germantown, both part of the North Shore Conference. I know you cover Germantown, but the story of the boys' tournament so far in terms of conferences has got to be that one, because not only are those two in the sectional, Grafton and Cedarburg also, as well as your Whitefish Bay team. So I mean, I know you saw a lot of North Shore basketball. Did you think it was at the level that they would get five teams into a sectional?
I honestly didn't think so. I had Germantown. Once they got acclimated to Coach Mark Adams' style, I knew they would be here In fact, I think they have an excellent shot at coming out of that section and going to state for a fifth straight year. But yeah, Lutheran and Bay have really surprised me. This Cedarburg team under Diener is just going to be on the rise yet. All their talent is young. And the interesting thing is they'll probably get to the sectional final because they will play Grafton in the other sectional semifinal, and that means they get a shot at your fine alma mater, Kakana.
Indeed, my alma mater, Kakana. Very excited to see what they can do, especially after the state wrestling title. So Steve, definitely right about that. Now I'm joined by Tom Skybosh, who covers New Berlin Eisenhower. Let's once again go back to the girls' basketball tournament. We talked a lot of Division I so far. D2's got a representative from our area as well. The New Berlin Eisenhower girls team, they defeated Milwaukee Pius. They, in fact, have handed Pius their only two losses in the last 2 years, both coming this season, and this one in the sectional final to get to state. And Sky, I saw Eisenhower play as well. I'm struck by how Chelsea Brockman is playing right now, their senior post. She looks awesome. Does it seem to you that this is a team that can get to Green Bay and actually win the gold? They look like a team to me.
Well, I know that's on her mind. After they won the semifinal, she told me that, right now we're thinking about the gold ball.
Right.
So that was definitely on her mind. In the last, I would say, 3 weeks, Coach Gary Schmidt has made an effort to give her the ball more, work their way in. And with the three-point shooters, they've been able to, pick your poison. And Chelsea, since I've been here, off the top of my head, is probably the best big girl that I've covered inside. Because she's, she knows what the backboard's for, which a lot of young kids, boys or girls, don't. And she uses it well underneath. Very rarely will you see her miss a shot underneath the basket. And she's carried them. And this team is fired up. They were fired up. Gary told me that Saturday morning before the tournament final. They were all fired up and excited. And I think it helped tremendously that they just got done beating them a few weeks before.
You talked about some of their outside shooters. A lot of youth on the perimeter for them. And what else is new? I mean, Eisenhower is just a machine. There has been in the last decade or so where they've got young kids contributing with the older kids. I mean, what have they brought to the table, the young kids on the perimeter?
Well, the whole year, their 1-2 combination has been senior Brockman and freshman Julia Hintz. She's just a deadly shooter. I saw her, she beat West by going to the free throw line in the final seconds and just nailing two. Mm-hmm. Just a very, very good outside shooter. Now, and it's been interesting in that they've kind of shut her down a little bit in the tournament games, but the shots that she did make were still big. When they jumped off to the 7-0 and 10-2 lead, she had 6 of those points to start the game off. And then she finished with 6. But she doesn't force shots. She knows how to look inside. She's a good passer. And the other one, of course, is sophomore Katie Ludwig, who's more of the point guard. Julia kind of swings over as a 2. So those two sophomores, along with the big girl, Samar Singh, I think, she's really done nice. She's another one they bring off the bench. She's 6'2". So, there's almost no relief because she's 6'2". Casey Arangi is 6 foot. And Han, even though she does a lot of her work from the three-point mark, is 6'1". So they're a big team. And they play Notre Dame, which is obviously an outstanding team. They've only got 2 losses. A very young team. And I didn't realize Notre Dame was that young. But they're also their biggest players, 5'10". So it'll be kind of interesting because, the last time they were in the state championship game, it was against Notre Dame.
Right. Notre Dame's a staple at the state tournament in recent years. Like you said, they had some turnover, but they're back. It'll be a hostile environment. They're right down the street playing at the Resch Center in Green Bay. That's a 3:30 game on Friday night. And switching over to the boys' side, and we'll stay at New Berlin Eisenhower. That was the shocker of the tournament thus far, the regional opener against Catholic Memorial. Eisenhower, which was the number one team in the state at points this season, I believe they were number 3 as this playoff started, they go down to Catholic Memorial. And I mean, I don't know if there were maybe signs that could happen. They didn't blow out Wauwatosa West, and then they lost pretty badly to Pewaukee. But that game didn't matter in the standings. It didn't matter in the seeding. So even though I credit Pewaukee for that, I didn't feel like New Berlin Eisenhower was going to go and lose in the first round of the playoffs. That had to surprise you as much as it surprised me.
Shocked. Now, if you remember here in the office, I said I would not be surprised if Eisenhower didn't go to state, as much as I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Right.
But, you know, they've just been not as impressive sometimes in wins. And, you know, a W is a W. But it's interesting because I think the Pewaukee game might have carried over into that game. The thing I'm shocked about is they didn't lose to a good Catholic Memorial team. Catholic Memorial was, what, five
under
games 500,
under
500?
Sure.
And you know, they lost by, what, 9 points? And so as a result, that's the part that shocked me. I mean, they had, yeah, they averaged, I think, about 7 3-pointers a game, and they had three. And it was, it's, you know, they just did not play well. They were not ready to play.
Catholic Memorial with one of the better, maybe underrated players in the area, Parker Carlson, who, you know, can average close to a double-double. Also, Alex Bray, who sat out all of last year with an injury. So they have some pieces, and it looks like they kind of put it together for that game. Ended up losing to Waukesha North, who reaches the sectional for a second straight year. Waukesha North was definitely a Cinderella story last year. Less so this year, but still a surprise coming out of that very loaded Division II corner of the bracket. The Brookfield Academy boys team is a team that you've followed as well, and they are moving on there in the sectional in Division III. What do they have? I know there's always a Clary brother on the Brookfield Academy team, and that seems to be a big deal. But what do they have that makes them dangerous?
Well, they have really tremendous balance. You know, of course, like I said, they have a great 1-2 punch because everybody always thinks of Ryan Clary, which you should. You know, he averages in the low 20s. But the other guy there who's very, very effective, I was very impressed with him when I saw him first time this year, Joe Lemon. Joe Lemon's a 6'5 forward who can go out to threes and drain them, and then when you come out to guard him, he'll take you to the hoop. The other kid, and if he's healthy, and, you know, he scores about 10 points a game, but he rebounding and block shots, is Alex Setzer. He's 6'10 junior. And the coach is telling me, Pat Cleary, that he said, you know, Setzer gets a kick out of blocking shots, and he hits the ball into the stands. And he says, you know, that's really nice, and the fans go nuts, but I wish he'd block some shots and keep them on the floor so we could get the ball back. But he's very good underneath. They also have Colton Bonk, who has done a very, you know, very nice steady forward for them, does a nice job. And then the guy who's like the heart and soul of that team is Aaron Gex, I think is that how you pronounce it. But this kid is just unbelievable, the energy that he has, and clutch performer. I think, you know, if you have to have an unsung hero on that team, you know, it would probably be him. So it'll be interesting because, you know, one of the things that really worked out, you know, Milwaukee Lutheran knocked off Brown Deer, because I don't know if Brookfield Academy could have beaten Brown Deer, but I think they have a shot against Milwaukee Lutheran, which is, you know, a good team, but it's not Brown Deer.
Right, boys sectional semifinals Thursday night, the finals on Saturday. Joined now by John Reck, who saw a thriller in his boys playoff game on Saturday night, the Muskego boys surviving Madison East with a kind of a follow-away banked-in three-pointer at the buzzer by Matt Farner, kind of the thrilling ending from Saturday night. Now, Muskego, they had a rough go last year. They lost. We were just talking about New Berlin Eisenhower and how they lost in the first round. Muskego lost in the first round last year. I'm sure it was pretty important for them to get through to the sectional. Was there a difference between this year's team and last year's that enabled them to win those first two games?
Well, I think they had the incentive of trying to show that they were better than, you know, what they did in the first round last year. And also they had the seed thing where they were the fourth seed, and they actually have the best record of any of the four teams in the sectional. So that was a chip on their shoulder too. And, but they're very, it's a good team. Cale Wagner is averaging about 22 points a game. Matt Farner has had 18 double-doubles this year. Tommy Anderson is a good scorer. It's just a good, solid team.
Kind of assuming Caleb Wagner will be the Classic 8 Player of the Year. Muskego has to travel to Janesville Craig to play Sun Prairie, the top seed in that bracket. Great referendum on the seeding that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Sun Prairie might not have quite the record, but they were the best team in the Big 8, so it's sort of a comparison of those two conferences.
Actually, it was a three-way tie.
Oh, okay. They're one of the best teams.
Madison Memorial, and Madison, and Middleton.
All three teams seated higher. Seated higher than Muskego in that same sectional.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the Warriors moving on. You've got Whitnall moving on, which was a bit of a surprise in Division Two. They knocked off Pewaukee, a team that had beaten them twice this season and kind of handled them in their previous meeting. And they handled them by really keeping Tyler Harrow, who, by the way, is going to come close to scoring 1,000 points through his sophomore year, which is an amazing accomplishment. They really bottled him up the last time with box and one defenses and whatnot. This time they did the same thing. Tyler Harrow scored 6 points, mm-hmm. and yet Whitnall won the game, 30 points from Kevin Taylor. I mean, that had to come as a surprise that they could win without Tyler Harrow lighting it up.
Well, Kevin Taylor picked up the slack, 30 points and 16 rebounds. He's done that before. They have won games where Tyler Harrow hasn't scored a lot. But Tyler Harrow put in 41 against Bayview, and that probably made Pewaukee go to the box and won even more. But Whitnall does have two good scorers. Austin Brault is a good point guard, is a good floor leader. So that's a solid team, too. And playing Waukesha North, which knocked off Greendale, somewhat of a surprise, and then beat Catholic Memorial. Waukesha North, good deal of speed, quickness, and athleticism. So that should be a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, some Cinderella story is going to get to the sectional final because North is a 4 seed, Whitnall is a 3 seed. Both teams have had to pull a couple upsets, or at least one upset, to get to this point. So should be an interesting game. Have you seen Waukesha North at all this year?
I saw Waukesha North
against Greendale.
Twice, actually, against Muskego and against Greendale.
Really impressed with sophomore Will McDonald, the dude with the big hair. He has really come on strong in the end of the year, and they already had a lot of senior leaders and upperclassmen who have a lot of experience. Adam Wazorik.
Wazorik and Chase Goodings.
Marcus Carter as well.
The coach, Sam Catula, said that the guards were very strong in rebounding. They held their own on the boards with Greendale, which has 6'7 Palizos and 6'8 Kuyawa. But they held their own. The guards did a lot of the rebounding, and there was some hustle, some turnovers. North made some steals. And that's how North beat Greendale.
All right, let's switch gears real quickly and turn to football. I know we're a long way away from the football season, but some news this week that Greenfield head coach Joe Cook, who has really turned around the Greenfield football program, made them a Woodland Conference title contender. They played in the title game this year, and they're going to be really good again next year. He took an assistant coaching position in the state of Texas. That came as a big surprise, I think, to a lot of people. What did Joe tell you about that, and how big a deal do you think that is that going to be for Greenfield?
Well, he told me that he was happy at Greenfield. He was looking forward to continuing the rebuilding. They won the Woodland Conference Championship last fall. But he was approached to take the Texas job by one of the legendary high school coaches in Texas who he respects. He couldn't turn it down. He said his lifelong dream has been to coach Texas football. He respects the coach that offered him the position. He said also the money is such that he can take care of his family financially, just couldn't turn it down. He left me with the impression that if this had not come along, he would have certainly been at Greenfield again next fall, but he pursued a lifelong dream.
Joe Cook has been with a number of programs, success stories across the board at Dominican, at Oak Creek, Milwaukee Pius. But here at Greenfield, I mean, they've been struggling for a lot of years. And to get to the title game that they did, that was an accomplishment by itself because they had to beat a pretty good Whitnall team. And then they go and beat Greendale, which is one of the bigger upsets, I think, of the previous football season. That's going to hurt that program, isn't it? Do you think they can keep going without the guy who got them there?
Well, he set the system in the process in motion, and he said he has good, solid assistants. He's hoping the staff stays together. The school seems to think that the program is at a high enough level that it can attract a good coach next fall. And there is a lot of talent back. Ezekiel Banks, the running back, and many other people back. The quarterback, Streeter, is back. So a lot of returning talent. It'll be interesting to see how his departure will leave the program, but he's left the program he's left the program in a good state.
We've talked before on the podcast about Brookfield East Sam Santiago Lloyd, one of the top returning players in the state next year, maybe the number one returning player. But keep an eye on that Ezekiel Banks kid. He was a junior last year and was hurt a lot of the year, but oh man, he's gonna be something special as a senior if he's healthy.
He scored about 16 touchdowns in the first four or five, six games or something before he was hurt for the rest of the year. Very, very explosive player.